He was identifying that he's great in you and not just a building. Amen. I tell you, man, God is, he's been doing so much. You know, that was almost like, you know, my grandmother used to have this washboard where she washed her clothes. And that was, the Bible says, we are washed in mercy and grace. That was a washing of that worship that we just went through. Amen. Some of the stuff that he was worshiping, he was allowing him to heal your heart in areas where you couldn't heal yourself. Amen. Areas where you're like, oh, how can I get out of this bondage? And when he was washing, you were saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. His mercy endured forever. He has never given up on me. Amen. That's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that and worship. Well, this is part two, amen, of receiving from the love of God. And we kind of ended last week about talking about how his love is the only thing. It's not about, God, I've done my best. It's about, are we receiving his best? Are we receiving his best? Are we receiving that he died for us? Are we receiving that? And you can get into this really trick of the enemy of thinking that it's about your best when it's really about Jesus, God giving his best one for you. Amen. Me and my dad watched Private Ryan and all these different movies, Independence Day, The Patriot. And something about familiar about these movies, especially these movies that make the top box office around 4th of July. And I was looking at some of the movies that have surfaced to the top and why they get billions coming in for these movies. And movies like superhero movies like Avengers and The Matrix and Independence Day. And I started noticing out of every one of these movies, there is somebody sacrificing their life. It's something that our heart is crying out for, that we want. Out of all the Independence Day at the end of the movie, somebody sacrificed their life so we can have life. In Titanic, somebody sacrificed their life so somebody else can live. In The Matrix, somebody sacrificed their life that the whole town, city, and the world can live. Avengers, somebody sacrificed their life and fell out of the sky so the whole place can. And I said, Lord, what is this? Why everybody? And he says, because my people are crying for a sacrifice. And some of them haven't received it yet. Your heart speaks of it, even when you're born. Who loves me? Who gave their life for me? Every script that makes billions and millions of dollars speaks volumes of somebody sacrificing their life. And if you don't watch it, you'll try to get the sacrifice for somebody else instead of getting it from the one who sacrificed for you. Amen? It's only one that sacrificed. And that man is who? Jesus. I'm talking from the toughest people I've seen in the streets need this. Amen? I'm talking about from the hardcore. I remember the first person I ever counseled when I was 18. And this brother came in and he just got out of jail that week. And I was 18 years old and I was like, man, this is my first counseling, you know, where I'm actually counseling somebody in the room. And the guy said, you know, I just got out of jail. He was upset because he had just murdered someone last week in jail. And he said he only did it because of self-defense. He said, but I didn't want to. Now, this guy's a big brother, okay? Bald-head guy. He said, I didn't want to do it. He started getting angry. He slammed his hand on the desk. He said, but they made me do it. It was self-defense. But, you know, I didn't want to do it. And I feel like God haven't forgiven me. And I'm the only thing in my, I mean, my hand literally started shaking, okay? Because I see he got so violent. And tears was coming from his eyes. And I'm like, oh, my God. Look at God. Where the exit at, you know what I mean? I wasn't feeling the Holy Spirit at the time, amen. But he started just telling me, and the Holy Spirit's the voice that I, a little bit that I did hear at the time, telling him about God's love and how he's forgiven them. And, you know, sometimes when you don't know what to do, just keep telling them about God's love, amen. It'll work itself out. But I started telling them about God's love for them and how he loves them and how he sacrificed for them. And as I continue to say that over and over again, this guy, okay, now be in mind, This is a guy that murdered someone last week in a penitentiary. He just got out, started crying and weeping because he said, I want that love. I want that love that that person, you said, died for me. He made it personal. We made it personal in that room. He received salvation. He broke down in tears. We hugged one another. Amen. And that's where I stopped being fooled about people and being, oh man, I'm hard. I'm hardcore. To the hardest of the hardest, you want to know who loves me? Who sacrificed their life for me? I got to, like, she sung that song this morning. Jesus, I wanna know, what are you thinking? What are you saying? I wanna know. And when stepbrother found out that Jesus sacrificed his life for him, that your sins are forgiven, he's not even bringing them up. That's when his life changed, amen. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for Christ's love compels what? Us. What held Paul? What held Peter? Not bondage, not, oh yeah, I gotta go to church. No, I get to go to church. I get to pray to Jesus. Obligation is for the bird, man. And they're not even obligated, amen. They sing praises unto the Lord because they know he good. The love of God should compel you. I make it like this. Just like gas is to a car, we can't do anything except through God's love. It's our driving force. We don't do it so we can get something back from God. We do it because he loves us. I once had a man that God placed in my heart to buy him something downtown when I was doing jury duty. And I just took the brother in my car. He was a homeless guy. I bought him bagels. I bought him milk. And the brother came back to me and said, what's this? I said, milk and bagels. You wanted this, right? He said, I only drink organic milk. What's this? I said, excuse me. But the thing about it is, did I take the milk back from him? Did I take the bagels back because he got an attitude? No, because God placed it on my heart to do this for him. See, Jesus, he sacrificed his life for us. Amen? And he's not going to take that life back. But he wants us to receive it. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:4 says this, and we have such trust in Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from who? God. And who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter what? Kills. But the spirit brings life. See, we compelled not by some letter we read in a book. We're compelled. We're compelled because his love holds on to us. We learn this even at an early age, that when we're babies, you know, we learned this in Lindenwood, where if a baby is not held and nurtured, and then you just put a bottle to the baby and feed it, and within 3 months, that baby will die. You know why? Because that baby knows it's meant to be held. It's meant to be loved. It's meant to be in a mother's warm embrace. Are you reading the word just to get milk and nourishment? Or are you reading it and you're receiving God's embrace? If you're reading it and you just say, okay, just feed me, but am I feeding off of his loving arms? Or are you saying, God, okay, I'm going to do this. That's the letter. The letter killed it. But the word that he speaks and says, I love you, Anthony. I love you, Marie. I love you, Brother Dave. That's the word that brings life. We're not here in some dull church that just say, I'm here for obligation. I'm here because somebody sacrificed for me. On that same problem, I love that movie. He said, make this life count. They sent all those people to die for one man. Jesus got whipped tremendously, not so we can stay in bondage, so we can live in freedom. independent of man. my free is free when this person, when this person free me, then I'm free. No. I say, don't hold your breath. Your freedom come because of Jesus. Some of you are waiting for somebody else to free you. You'll never be free. And they'll control you like a puppet. With strings. Oh, if I say this to them, I can make them react this way. If I say this and I take my love back, then I know they're going to react like this. No, Jesus' love is not like that. Some people get mad because Jesus keep loving no matter what. Why you going to keep loving them, Jesus? Get off the strings. Cut the strings. Cut them. Because God said, I have no strings. I love you unconditionally. I love the righteous. I love the unrighteous. I love them. It's my love that's going to cause you to say, I'm getting up and praising you this morning. Not fear and obligation. Amen. I can talk about the water all day. You need to drink water today. You need to drink water today. You need to drink water. But there's a difference between me saying it and actually saying, here goes some water for you, brother, and giving it to him. You need to be right. You need to be right with God. You need to be right with God. But there's a difference between saying, you know what? God loves you, and he has made you righteous. I remember I used to say, ain't nothing wrong with God. Ain't nothing wrong with God's word. So guess what? There must be something wrong with you. I used to say that. But I'm starting to recognize what grace is. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with God's word. And by the grace of God, there's nothing wrong with you. Receive his word today. See, the law points at you. Me and Brother Mac was talking about that today. How the lady came and touched his garment. And the Bible said that virtue flew out of Jesus into her. Virtue don't flow into you, into Jesus. It flows out of Jesus to you. If you see somebody that's not having virtue, don't get upset with them. Just know that they haven't made a contact with Jesus. Give them Jesus. Don't give them your rules and regulations. Give them love. If you see somebody that's not in love with God, don't beat them up. Have them say, hey, God loves you. Receive from him today. Amen. Well, how do I do that? You have to know that he loves you as an individual person. Amen. Matthew 18:2, it says this. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And I ain't talking about those kids that be acting bad. I remember one, I was in this store in Schnook, and this kid, he had like an automatic arm. He was throwing stuff at his mama, like, doom, doom, doom. I'm like, this kid need a spanking. I ain't talking about that type of thing. I'm talking about a child that just believes anything. He wants us to be like that. I remember I was at CEF, this evangelist, working as a missionary, and we had this thing called the Jesus Can. And we said, Jesus can do anything. And we was kind of teaching them the basics about prayer. And we had them praying for different things. One of the persons wrote down on their, I want my mom to be healed of cancer. And she placed it in the Jesus Can. It was a can that we placed for kids. And then another kid said, I want my dad to receive a job, and he wrote it on a little note, and we had like 20 of these things for the kids, and I was just saying, okay, you know, now if you don't see it, don't be upset, but Jesus can do, and all the kids say, anything, and I said, what, anything, and they just, y'all, there'd just be an uproar, and they was so excited about Jesus, and then next week, we're going to say, okay, we're going to read the Jesus cans, and what y'all place in here, and I promise you, this one week, each one I reveal out of Jesus' hand. My mom got healed of cancer. My dad got a job. I said, hold on. I need some of y'all. I said, won't y'all pray for me? I need that childlike faith. Amen. They believed and they had no distractions of believing because they were pure at heart. See, sometimes we don't want to believe because we've been hurt by this person. Or we've been hurt by our parent. Or we've been hurt by a sister or a brother or a cousin or whatever. He says, separate your belief system from what your hurt's been in the past and come unto me, which cometh your help. Your help coming from the Lord. Not from your boss, not from your mom, not from your dad, not from... He comes from him.
All right,
God. If you receive something good, it comes from him. He don't want you to live in codependency. He don't want you to live by the strings of man. He wants you to live by the strings of love.
Come on.
The strings of restoration. The strings of knowing I don't care if nobody loves me no more, Jesus, as long as you love me. That's the only love that should matter in your life. If you're not doing it out of that, it don't profit you nothing. Make it personal. If you don't make it personal, you're not drinking from the real life. You're drinking from manipulation and fear. Hallelujah. Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and what? See. See, you have to taste it. And to taste it, you have to trust. Amen. How many of y'all have a barbecue? But you say, I ain't eating everybody's barbecue. I remember this one brother had some chitlins and he had up somebody and he opened up the chitlins and had corn and stuff in there. He said, I'll throw that stuff away. You can't eat everybody, but you eat what you trust. You place inside of you what you trust. Amen. Me and Keisha were talking. I know, that's an inappropriate story, maybe. I don't know. Them chitlins good, those mussels, but Lord deliver me from the chitlins in the hot seat. Amen. Nah. That's all me. My mom never made you. But anyway, back to when you taste something and you digest something, it's saying that I trust this. You know, when me and Keisha was in Tijuana, Mexico, I remember the first thing they said, don't give any money out and don't drink any of the water. Amen. And when they said that, I was like, okay. But the first thing I went over there, I started doing is giving money to the kids. Because I was just compelled to. And I shouldn't have did it, but I seen why now. Because they swarmed around me. And it's like, money, dollar, dollar. They start juggling from me. I'm like, oh my God. And then me and Keisha, I was a little thirsty. I was a little parched. I said, let's go get something to drink from this food vendor truck. And Keisha grabbed my hand and said, we ain't getting nothing to drink out of that truck. I said, why not? And she was like, it's flies, all the stuff. And that stuff ain't FDA approved. And I said, what are you talking about, Keisha? And so I started looking. I seen all these medical places and pharmacies. I said, why do you need all these pharmacies everywhere? And all these, I said, you know what? I think the Holy Spirit talked to you, Keisha. I think I'm going to wait to go back to the United States and get something to drink. So, we ain't eat none of that stuff on the food truck. But the reason why I didn't taste it, see, I got a point for everything. The reason why I didn't taste it because we didn't trust it. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, if you don't know that God is good and his mercy endures forever, you're not going to want to taste or touch it or digest it. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in me. Not take refuge in anything else. You're going to be blessed because you take refuge in who? Him. So you can drink the living water. You can say, I can drink this, and I ain't got to look back on nothing. I ain't got to see. I ain't got to have agreement from this, agreement from that. I can drink God's water because it's good all by itself. Amen. And when you drink it, guess what? It never disappoints. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Thompson, that sounds good. It preaches good. But the Holy Spirit been letting me know, how can I do this in a practical way? After I leave church today, what do you mean drink his water? What do you mean to receive his word? He says this, start preparing your heart to receive from him. Colossians 3:2, I know I'm everywhere today. It says, set your affections on what? Things above. Not on the things the same, because the things the same are what? Temporary. They're not going to be here forever. You know, I like driving in my Monte Carlo, but my Monte Carlo is going to rust out and die one day. I like certain things on this earth, but even this physical body, it's not going to be here. He says, make valuable what's in the spiritual realm more than you do the natural realm. Prepare your heart to get in worship with my love, which is the only thing that's going to endure forever. When your body decays and you have to leave it to your children and your daughter, this is what you want to leave to them. Something that's not back and forth like a yo-yo. You want to leave something that's going to remain constant. And that's what he wants us to do. The set, you know, when I was in a charismatic church, a faith church one time, I used to think to set something up is of the devil. It's like, unless I'm being spontaneous, it's not really from God. You see what I'm saying? Like setting up this message with notes and stuff like that. I can do that. Because whatever you set, you're saying, this is important to me. I love this. Did God just place this on this boy? No. He said, let there be trees. Let there be water. Let there be light. Let there be this. Then he set in motion. Then we came. So what is setting up? Setting up is love. Can y'all get that? Setting. You're setting things. You know, I remember she said, she's setting things up for Caleb for when he gets older. You're setting things up for the things that you love. To, you know, I just went through this Biggest Loser thing where my job was $1,500. It was real fun and stuff. And they said, how did you do it? They took my picture, put it in a magazine. It was real cool. But they said, how did you do it? I said, the first 4 months, I struggled. He said, but then the last 3 months, I did good because I did when I would ride by McDonald's and I didn't have any food in my car, I go straight to McDonald's and I said, Lord, I'm losing this race. He said, because you're not setting. This is a principle that works in any area. He says, you didn't lose when you seen that McDonald's. You lost the day before when you didn't set your heart to prepare your food.
Go ahead.
Okay, now here we go back to the spiritual realm. Some of us think, oh man, I'm losing the spiritual battle. No, no. I already set in motion tomorrow. Keith can be a witness. We're going to pray first thing in the morning. It's not a law thing, okay? It's a blessing thing. You ain't got to pray. You get to pray, okay? I'm going to listen to some Joseph Prince when I'm driving to work. Listening to God's love. I'm setting in motion. I'm going to listen to songs and say, this is going to be the best day of my life. I'm going to be saying those things. You see what I'm saying? And you know what happens within that day? It does become the best day of my life. The grace of God does awaken in my heart. But guess what? There was setting up I had to do. Setting up is not of the devil. Setting up is saying, I love you, Lord. And I know you love me. So I'm setting this time apart to be in love with you. Sometimes me and Keisha have date nights. But she said, we gonna set this on Friday nights. No, Keisha, let's just, you know, Hollywood is like, let's just be spontaneous. Let's just let it fall wherever it falls, that's where it falls. No, no, that's Hollywood. That's fake love. When you really love, you set. God set his son before the foundation of the earth. Setting speaks of volumes. It speaks of love. You're only here today because you set to come. I've learned something about something. If you already have it in your mind, it's already going to happen. You think you're here setting up for today. You're here maybe setting up for 2016. And the seeds that you hear today may be flourishing in 16 and 17. Some of the decisions I made in 2012 to hear grace and go to certain churches is now just coming up. And we think, oh no, we're doing it just for today. You're not setting just for today. You're setting to futures to come. You're planting those seeds, and those seeds are flourishing, and you may not see it. Just like when I was a kid in school, I would put seeds in the ground, and I didn't see it, and I kept on grabbing that seed. Why ain't growing? I kept putting it back in the ground. I didn't allow it to germinate because I couldn't see nothing. And them other kids just let the seeds just stay in there. I kept messing with mine, and theirs start coming up. You have to let it sit in there and die. What do you mean? I don't care if I see something or not. I'm worshiping Jesus this morning. I set my heart that if I see 40 people in here, 50 people, 10 people, 2 people, I'm worshiping Jesus.
Come on, man.
Like the Hebrew boys. They said, listen, you throw me into this fire, I'm praising God. You don't throw me into this fire, I'm praising God. I'm setting my heart on God. I'm not setting my heart on anything else. You set your heart on other stuff, your heart will be discouraged all day. This is a decision that you have to make. You get to make to say, I don't care what I see. I don't care what happens to me. I'm praising Jesus today because you've been good to me. And we don't chase after things, but it's something in the Bible that says, and all these things shall be added. If you pursue righteousness, if you pursue him. It's something, I'm not saying it so you can get these things to happen, but it's something that says this in the Bible that these things will be added unto you effortlessly once you seek him. Some people are seeking to get out the fire more than they seeking Jesus.
Uh-oh. Come on now. Bring it down.
Some people are seeking to get out of their situations more than they seeking Jesus. And they're wondering, what's wrong? Why is this not working? They already spoke that they are in works. They believe if I do something hard enough, then Jesus will move on my behalf. It doesn't work like that. He has already moved on your behalf. You're praying to see what he's already done in your heart. You're communing with him to see, like she sung this morning, that he's after your heart. I'm so after you. What about that criminal, that person that committed that crime and saw this stuff to break down? Because it was all about him. He knew because he murdered a man. He did this to a person that he couldn't get in by his good works. But once he found out it was about Jesus and him alone, he broke down and cried. Why? See, Pharisees can't cry. Why? Because this is all about me. This is all about what I do. He cried because he knew he couldn't get in by his works. It was only by Jesus. We walk by faith in him, not faith in ourselves. That's the reason why we set aside time for worship with him. Sometimes, like I said, people look at certain words like obedience and like I said, I'm doing a wedding where this person said, don't ever say obedience in this wedding, ever. And I'm like, man, who hurt you? Who scarred you in life? Because obeying God is good. It's a blessing to forsake not the assembly of the blood. It's a blessing to pray. I said, what do you think Jesus, your master, your new covenant leader, was doing in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was praying. He was setting his heart to say, I'm not listening to the devil. I'm not listening to nothing but what the Father has to speak to me at this moment, at this time. So I'm separating time from all the other people in the village to hear what you have to say, Jesus, the Father. So that's what we do. We get to do this. When God says, love that brother, love yourself, even though you made a mistake. We get to love. We get to take down. And he wants you to be just like a child. I can tell a child to do anything, and they'll do it. Why? Because it is easy to believe. He wants us to have that same faith. That worship we had this morning heals our heart from the broken wounds. And say, you know what, Lord? I'm setting my attention on you, Jesus. Three Hebrew boys. Man, I love this story. That's something my brother Sheku said when he was 18. And, you know, I picked him up from the club and he was getting into some situation. And I remember the day he said this. He said, Wendell, I said, man, God want a relationship with you. He said, man, I want this relationship. And my brother Sheku, I mean, he hugged me. And as soon as I was walking out of his house, he said, when are we going to do this again? When are we going to talk about God's love again? I said, we'll do it later. He said, no. We going to hang out. He was setting his heart from that day. He said, no. I'm not just going to let this be a fly-by-night. I'm placing importance on what you just told me today, brother. And I'm going to have this for the rest of my life. So when can we hang out again? It was almost like I was compelled to hang out with him. Why? Because he says, I want what you got, Jesus. And that love in me said, I want you to receive what he got. My brother Gabe, many other people in this room, they said, you know what? I'm going to set time for me to do this with you because this relationship thing, I want it. I want it. And so you set time, not out of fear of obligation, but you set time because you know that he loves you and he sacrifices love for you. I want to set time with Keisha to have a date night. Not because I'm bondage to Keisha. Because I want to set the time where I'm just hearing what she has to say and she hearing what I have to say. Hallelujah. I'm after your heart. That's what he's speaking. Body. See, we looking at where this at? Where are people at? Where this at? It's people in this church that's being changed, transformed over and over every week. And you know how? By the love of God. By the love of God. By the mercies of God. My brother Gabe, he said, listen, brother, we got to come again and again and again because I know God loves me. I know this prayer thing works. It's not something I can touch, taste, feel. He said, but I'm setting my affection not on things that seem, but things above. I know that this is taking place in my marriage. I know, Brother Sheku said, I know this is taking place in my heart. I'm treating people better than I ever treated them before. What's this love about? I can't taste it. I can't hear it. I can't, but I know it's real in my life. Can you see the radio waves in this room, y'all? Nope. Guess what? They coming through here. Actually, you can't even see the wind, Jesus said. You can see the effects of wind. You can see it by the barometer and the flagpole flapping. Like I said, them Earth City birds that be flying in Earth City be getting blown over by the wind. I remember hitting on them with my old friend. I hit one of those birds like, oh, boom. I said, I need to go pray for that bird to give this bird to heaven. But it affects our hearts. I see people enter into this love and never change. Why? Because he never changed his mind about you. I know that's good. Have y'all been around people and they change how they think about you? Then you change how you treat them. It's a game. But because he hasn't changed his mind about you, I don't have to change my mind about how I see myself, nor how I see you. Somebody let you down, guess what? You can actually let them be human. Wow. Ooh, let's try that. You can make a mistake and I don't have to treat you funny. Oh man, what a revelation. But if I'm connected to your love, then you have to treat me right. Because if you don't treat me right, I ain't treating you right. But God's love never fails. What caused that man to change when I was witnessing to him and he just committed a murder last week? He knew that God's love never changed. He received salvation right on the spot because he knew that he was forgiven forever. He says, I want this. This is the thing I've been looking for my whole life. He drunk that water. And when I say water, I'm talking about just spiritual water. A Holy Ghost water. Water that never runs out. The Bible says it runs through you like a river. I remember following the river on the Missouri River. And I was just following it through my map. It was kind of scary because I was going through states and states and states. I was just looking through. I said, where did the Missouri River get? It was never ending. Until, I think it went to California. Until it went to the ocean. I said, oh, I ain't trying to go there. But you are not just connected to yourself here. You're connected to God. When he died for you, you have that same power that raised him from the dead because of the love that he received, you give it to others. Amen. Hallelujah. The letter kill it, but the word of love bringing life. Some of you all may came late. I said, we learned this in Lindenwood that a baby that's just drinking and drinking milk and drinking milk for 3 months is not held by their mother's arms, they would die. Because it's your natural right to be loved. And when God created your heart, he created your heart to be loved. Not just read the word out of obligation. He created your heart to be loved. So when you read, when you pray, when you come to church and you're not being loved, you need to go somewhere else where you're being loved. Because that word won't mean nothing to you if you're not feeling that warm embrace. This morning, I've been talking. But he wants you to love somebody here today. Amen. And guess who that person is? He wants you to love you. I got a song that the Lord just told me to play. And I'm kind of cut the lights off. This church is a real church that we really want to make connections with your heart. We're not just here for show. Okay, people get healed here. People get emotionally taken out of bondage here. I want you to allow this song to minister to you, okay? This song is called Arms of Love. And as you hear it, make it personal to you, okay? Amen.
I've been honored to travel the world and to minister through song. And one of my favorite things has to be writing. I've been moved to communicate through writing songs. And it's not the easiest thing because sometimes those experiences are very painful. And that's where some of the songs of encouragement comes from. This song is one of those songs, if I can share with you quick. It's entitled Arms of Love. And it's just me being honest with God. I messed up a couple of times. Come on, church. A lot of times. This is just a question that I ask of God. If you will, And if you can, dismiss the facts, please, no reprimand. But can you just hold me in your arms? Your arms of love. You don't need a fool, 'cause you know the truth. And I've been taught the way. I don't have one right, don't have one right to come and say, Lord, please hold me in your arms, your arms of love. Your arms of love is really the pain. Your arms of love once again. So Lord, if you will, and if you can, look past my thoughts, Lord, take hold my hand, and just hold me in your arms, yeah. Your arms of love, it relieves the pain. Your arms of love, I need once again. So if you will, send my son, I can. Oh yes, I know the facts, but still my son, I understand. Oh, he held me in his arms, and tonight, God wants to hold you. He wants to hold you in his arms. So please, let him hold you in his arms of love. There's no need to hide. I mean, we come to church. We come to church for healing. We come to church to be uplifted. We come to church to get everything we need. After being battered in the world, we can come here and he'll hold you in his arms.
Let him hold you.
You gotta let down your guards to allow them to hold you. Let down your weapons. Lay them down. Let them hold you. Let them embrace you. So you can feel. Everybody say feel. You know, like I said, some people go, well, you don't supposed to walk by what you feel, but if you're allowing them to hold you, it affects your feelings. Let him hold you in his arms. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I know everybody. Everybody, just close your eyes. And just repeat after me, just in case someone hadn't received salvation. Just say, Father God, I allow you to hold me in your arms. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I received your life, Jesus, on the cross, that you died for my sins on the third day. And because I believe in you, Jesus, I am saved. I am free. I am forgiven forever. Now, just right now, just allow him to hold you. Feel that forgiveness. Not just talk about it. Feel that you're righteous with God because he's taken away the sin of the world. You can't take it away. The Bible says, behold him, the one that taketh away the sin of the world. Repent. Stop looking at yourself and look at the one that took it away. That was the very first time you received salvation. True salvation. Just raise your right hand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.